you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Raise your hand if this has been your story before. You woke up early in the morning to begin a long 8 to 10 hour road trip, traffic-free. You begin cruising the highways, feeling pretty good about the road you will cover for the day. You know the traffic patterns of the cities you have to go through, and it all seems to be going well. And then as you come around a bend in the road, this is what you see. Red lights as far as you can see. First 10, 15 minutes, okay, this is going to happen. 30 minutes, it's just annoying. 40 minutes, it better start moving. An hour and a half. You have so far to go. Gas is getting low in the tank, and your body is screaming for a bio break. There are kids in the car, they're getting very restless. If your partner's with you, they may be getting frustrated. You may look at traffic bound the other direction, and you may be envious that they are moving. However, your picture doesn't change. You're stuck. Raise your hand if that has been you before. Some shot up like immediately, like, yeah. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating when you're not moving. I count myself a patient person, but Jessica can attest that in these situations, I can be rather moody. Many of us are impatient when we just want to move. That's it. And we don't have to go far, but we just want to move. But we are stuck, and it appears there is nothing we can do. Thank you, Jack. You can take that down. Many of us are looking at what is going on in the world, and we feel helpless. If it's not Ukraine, it's Israel. It's not the opioid drug crisis, it's the effects of climate change. And there is this demand for justice that simply is not moving or progressing forward the way we would like. We get impatient with leaders that play politics at the expense of the safety and well-being of others. We are annoyed with people in our own community that don't recognize the humanity of others. And some of us may admit anger at Christians who skip over the love your neighbor as yourself in Deuteronomy and in the Gospels and don't seem interested in learning from the most vulnerable as Christ did. This is not a joke, but this week I counted the times people told me the phrase, "What is our world coming to?" And I began on Monday going through this morning, and I added one more this morning. And if I had a dollar for every time someone asked, I would have $11 in my pocket, which may not seem like a lot, but in 7 days, once a day, someone questioning, "What is the world coming to?" Even in our own nation, the wealthiest nation in the history of the world, yet 11 million children live in poverty. This lack of movement towards justice and positive change is frustrating for everyone, but perhaps especially for people of faith that believe in a higher power that is supposed to be on the move. And not only on the move, but through Christ, a God that is on the move to bring about love and justice. For people of faith, it's difficult when we can't see that future God has promised. And we may even teeter on despair. The cynic in the book of Ecclesiastes famously says, "There is nothing new under the sun." And while that is no magic pill for hope in these days, it is worth us reminding that what we are going through has been going on really since the beginning. Some of us may have had the privilege not to be impacted by such events, and we may read about it and learn about it. But some of what makes this particular moment in history challenging is that with climate change and the mental health crisis and so much more, is that for the first time it really may affect our lives and those we love. And as people of faith only seeing brake lights, the movement of the Spirit appears to be at a standstill. And there are many people in Scripture that could relate to those feelings today. It could be the blind man waiting for the rumored healer to show up. It could be the woman searching for a Savior that would treat her with dignity and respect. In fact, in Sunday school, we have been studying the context of the Bible. Who were the people and what were they going through when God spoke to them and moved to redeem and restore and reconcile God's people? And the most formative event in Israel's history occurred in 586 BCE when the Babylonian Empire conquered Judah. And King Zedekiah, the shepherd of God's people, anointed to walk with God, does not follow God. The leader did not follow God. And therefore, the Babylonians destroy the temple of God in Jerusalem. And they captured hostages and forced them back to Babylon. And in captivity, God's people were teased and harassed. It does not get much worse for the people, as it is captured in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept. Our tormentors asked us for mirth. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? What is this world coming to? How could God let this happen? Is God going to break in and get a move on it, or is God stuck in traffic? Despair sets in when we believe there is no way. When we believe all is lost or nothing can come from this, despair can suck all the hope out of the room to a point where we don't expect God is doing anything. And have you felt that before? Either in your own lives or as you look out into the greater world. It's like a bad day. It only takes a couple things to not go our way, even the smallest, most insignificant task, which sets the tone for the entire day. And then those small blessings go unnoticed. The sugar maple that is bright red is taken for granted. The blessings of having a warm home or a meal that is fresh produce aren't fully enjoyed. And we may completely forget that someone loves us completely for who we are. Imagine if we could be present to those times, the blessings around us always. Imagine that what that could do when eventually things don't go our way. Imagine with all the war and suffering going on in our world, we held the difficult at the same time recognized the good. John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Isaiah 45 speaks to this light, in which the Israelites refuse to let go. And they give meaning to us that God's ways are truly not our ways. For God does the unexpected. You see, while they are in exile, there's another empire that comes in and conquers Babylon. Again, nothing new under the sun. Except something is different about this new nation and this leader. King Cyrus, who comes up in this chapter, is the king of the Persian Empire and does not act like the king of Babylon. Cyrus, yes, conquers and expands his empire, but does so with tolerance and understanding. Instead of exploiting Israel, they return the exiles to Judah. Instead of destroying precious buildings, they allow God's people to rebuild the temple and continue to worship God as they like. And they notice the unexpected, that King Cyrus, the foreign king, is actually moving as God's anointed one. That King Cyrus is moving as a shepherd for God's people. He's not Israelite, but God has found a way. In Isaiah 45, verse 5, God says to Cyrus, "Though you don't know me, I am strengthening you to disarm kings, open doors that have been shut, release prisoners." In other words, the movement of Cyrus is the movement of God. And it may surprise us too that God works through people of other faiths or those of no faiths. That God not only works through the church, but anyone that has a heart towards healing and justice. And when their heart is in the same place where God's is, God is present and God is moving. The other day I was watching an interview of an Israeli man whose brother was killed by Hamas. And the person interviewing him wanted to focus on the brutality of what happened and was attempting to steer the conversation towards anger or hatred that this man may have had towards Hamas in Palestine. But the brother refused. He actually steered the host in a different direction. He said his brother was a kind soul to everyone he met. And he knew that the last thing his brother wanted was to have someone use his death in a way that led to revenge and the death of more innocent people. The interviewer was obsessed with getting to the fear and anger and missed the wisdom, and I would say the very voice of God. And since I've heard that, I've thought about this man and have prayed for him in the courage and the wisdom to see the humanity that others have not been able to see. And it gave me hope that God is still moving in that region, still speaking in creative ways. God finds a way when we are in a standstill. Call it stubbornness, call it resilience, or call it faith. But God continues to be a force of goodness and justice, even when we can't see it. God continues to use unexpected people in unexpected ways to alleviate suffering and bring about shalom. And our ancestors held on to this belief in their bleakest days. Even before Christ's resurrection, they believed resurrection was always possible. Even when we are seeing this, can we put that back up, Jack? Even when we're seeing this, when we are seeing brake lights, when despair creeps in, even when all seems at a standstill, God is still good. God is just. And God is moving, hopefully in ways that are important in that traffic, to redeem and restore and to heal. So I invite you to be stubborn. I invite you to be resilient and to have faith. And notice God is moving in our world. Amen. Amen.